Continuing our interview with John Wayne Fleming, call him Wayne, he was discussing the political aspect of it and how it even touched you, your area. You could see the political aspect.
Well, basically, you hear all the horror stories before you go over there about the people, of how the gooks, as they call them, were very horrible people, you know, unmerciful and on and on. But basically, they were interested in the American buck around my area. What the problem was is the military lost respect with their troops, as far as I'm concerned, because they would go out. I mean, hey, there was more dope smoking over there by American troops than you would never believe. And that is true. It's very true. Just unbelievable. I mean, you've heard about friggin' people, you know, and all this stuff. They did that. They killed a lot of Americans. Americans kill Americans, you know. And we had a bunch of people over there because it was a guerrilla-type war that the American troops were not equipped for. But it didn't happen around our little camp or perimeter of our camps. Occasionally, we'd get a little mortar fire or something like that. But, hell, the American civilian workers and a lot of soldiers, too, were elbow-to-elbow with our enemy, so-called enemy, at the towns surrounding these bases at night, you know, with the night lights. I mean, it's strange to walk in a dirt street to a city that's been built for maybe overnight even, and you see girls in nice gowns and all that makeup, jukeboxes in the corner, music going on, whiskey, beer, wine, prostitution. I mean, you know, it's unbelievable, but that's the way it really was.
Now, this is the 10 cities you're talking of.
Right.
How did they get their power and all? They had the generators as well? You said they had jukeboxes?
Oh, they have jukeboxes. They have their own generators. Most of it was probably American equipment, you know. And every little city over there, they had electricity over there. It wasn't like he was out in the boonies, you know. I mean, they even had paved highways over there, although they were in bad shape, you know, on account of the war, but you had asphalt highways over there.
Very few,
but you had them. The beaches, most beautiful beaches in the world. It's just unbelievable. It's a very beautiful country. I mean, they had jade. I mean, just, in fact, I bought some jade while I was over there, natural jade. It's a beautiful country, and the people are nice people over there, the people that I met. You know, it's strictly a political war. I still believe that, my own personal opinion, that if history proved us right by Robert McNamara said that we should have never been there, we should have pulled out. And his book had come out here about a year ago. He admitted he made a mistake. The politicians made the money. That was it. I went there for the money, the greed. That's what you call it. That was it. But too many Americans' lives were lost for nothing. And I wouldn't mind going back, because it is a beautiful country. And the culture of the people are very nice, and very nice people.
What about some of the smells and things? I mean, was it like America, so to speak?
It's like going into some slums. Areas of America would be equivalent to that over there. I mean, you take poor people, and that's what you had over there. I mean, the rich control the people, the Vietnamese, the rich people. Just look around you in this country today. Most of the immigrants that we have over today was the soldiers and the politicians that were in Vietnam were multi-million-dollar heirs in this country right today. Motels, businesses, all in all. I mean, that should tell you something.
From what I've read, people have assumed that, of course, Johnson's the one that really escalated the war in Vietnam, the war effort, and, of course, he ended up being a very wealthy man, you know, read.
Well, I don't know about that. All I've read about him, he started out as a school teacher, and he was a very frugal investor, and he became a multi-millionaire. I mean, that's two different stories.
Yeah. Well, about the people in Vietnam, and did you see many Vietnamese soldiers or Viet Cong soldiers or anything like that?
You would
in the
see
area?
Them when you'd go into town. They would have their weapons, but they wouldn't bother you. I mean, the civilians now, soldiers, it was a different thing. Occasionally, you would have incidents where, you know, soldiers would get shot, you know, American troops or something. But civilians, they didn't bother with it. They just wanted the money. Sometimes they put up a roadblock, a dollar a head or something, going to town or something. But my impression was that the Vietnamese people, their self, were more, I'd say 90% of them, were for the Viet Cong. It was not for the local government. Because the government, from what I understand, was very corrupt.
Did you see, you said that the people, a lot of people with pageants and all, maybe you saw their goats and things like that, and their meager subsistence.
Well, you can find the same thing in the Appalachians probably today. I mean, 20 years ago, you could, I don't know about today, I hadn't been up in the Appalachians that long. You can find it deep in New Mexico. Or any South American country you go to, you can have the same poverty that you had in Vietnam. But you have the poor people that's never going to have nothing. They're always going to be poor. And the same thing in this country. You're going to have people that's going to be poor. It's always been that way. You're going to have wealthy people, you're going to have poor people, you're going to have middle class people. When you have no education in that country, and that was the basic problem, and we have it in this country. We have education, but we basically we do not have a good education for the people. Down there, you had uneducated people. Uneducated people is always going to be more or less peons, you know, like minimum wage people.
Speaking of which, the people that were less accepted probably than any others in that time frame of the American Vietnamese, or the Vietnamese children of American soldiers and Americans in general. Did you run across or see any of that over there that were children from Americans?
No, I never seen any of that. There might have been a lot of them. You had a lot of kids over there, and there was what we would call in this country prostitution, you know. I mean, that was rampant over there because the people had no money. They had to feed their families. If they had kids or if they had parents, you know. I didn't see that per se of what you're talking about.
Okay. You spoke about the vices of the Tin City and the vices. Can you elaborate a little bit more on the corruption within that?
Well,
prostitution.
I mean,
did they not do anything to? You know, the Americans probably partook of the.
Well, that's what kept them alive. I mean, my personal belief, and I don't know if this is true, but my personal belief is I think that's probably what kept the Vietnamese going so long was the paybacks or the kickbacks and the graft of the money that the Americans were spending in these communities. You know, for dancing, dance halls, prostitution, drinking. I mean, you know, it was relatively inexperienced as far as America's concerned. American prices. I mean, it was very cheap over there. I would say that's probably what kept the guerrilla warfare going so long, is the American dollars.
Well, did they give you all any, or the Americans, civilians, any orientation when you first got there,
yeah,
as far as, you know, steer clear of this, or
they tell you all that, stay clear of this and all that, but human nature is such that you're not, you know, somebody's going to go, and pretty soon the word gets back, you know, hey, man, these are nice people over in this town, man, they've got a nice bar over there. I mean, you know, they got Ray Charles on the jukebox, you know, shit, you're going there, you're sitting in a camp, you got no entertainment per se except some movies, you know, or something, you know, and the action's down the road.
Well, did it ever cross your mind, and maybe I should not ask this, were you not afraid you might catch something, if not get shot?
Well, I think the most people worried was not getting about shot. It was probably catching some venereal disease or something. But I think that basically, you know, with a little protection, a lot of people protect. Maybe there was a lot of disease going on. I never heard about it before.
Getting back to your environment, your living quarters and all.
Very nice. Air conditioning. Well, it's like modular homes, you know, these house trailers, per se. Actually, that's what they were, house trailers, you know, well insulated, you know. That's basically what it was. Air conditioning. I mean, it was good living. You got a big chow hall, you know. You ate what the military ate, which is probably the best food in the world, you know. Well, we ate steaks. We ate everything. We ate good. In fact, hell, I probably ate better there than I ever ate in my life before I went there.
Did y'all have any guard or anything? Soldiers that guarded you while y'all worked and did these things?
No. That was just perimeter troops and the perimeters out around the perimeters of the base. And then basically they built a fence around the base, you know. I don't know how many acres that they were there. I don't recall, but it was a pretty good sized base.
And they employed Vietnamese people there as well?
Oh, yeah, as maids, cleaning out the rooms. You didn't clean your own rooms. You had maids come in there. Good, which were Vietnamese people, local people, nationals.
With laundry and things like that as well?
Yeah, all that stuff. Cooks. Employed a lot of local people.
What would you, if you could, in a brief sentence, how would you describe Vietnam as overall, as far as say the climate, the culture, the atmosphere within that era? Would you have a?
Well, I don't recall the atmosphere of being any fear involved. That much fear. There was apprehension, but not fear. The most beautiful country that I've ever been to, you know, and I've been to several countries in South America, most of the United States, Mexico. Very tropical, beautiful country. The people are very friendly. That's about all I can say.
On your return trip, how long did you stay over there?
About 8 months.
8 months. Was there any particular reason for your return, or?
Well, that's kind of a long story I wasn't getting into, but I was getting a little homesick at the time. You know, you go to a country at a certain time, and that's all you do is work, and what relaxation you get is going to drink drinks, you know, outside the base and all that, you know, and you're making money and you're sending money home and you're never seeing any of it, you know, and eventually you get out.
And go home and see your money.
Yeah, you'd like to have, of course, we didn't have the Big Mac, was not very popular back then, but, you know, you want to get back to the old Dairy Queen or something, you know, see the family. You know, it's kind of tough being isolated. Maybe probably a 20 mile radius. And that's basically you're in prison is what you are. I mean, yeah, you get to go into town and you get to drink and you can do these and you got movies and you got all sorts of things, but it doesn't take the place of home and the old pinto beans and the baked potatoes and the fried potatoes.
So you never really got to go on R&R or anything like that?
Oh, yeah, I went on R&R a couple of times. First time I went on R&R was in Taiwan, you know. We went over there for 5 days. That was very good. Best R&R I ever went on was in Shanghai. We went there on R&R one time. And that's a big break, you know, and they would pay you while you was there. But Jesus Christ, you'd spend more money and have to war home for money, you know, because it's so expensive. You know, your own more or less vacation. And so that was very good. I mean, it was. I've seen a lot of the country, and I really enjoyed it. I mean, really going back over it, it wasn't that really that bad.
But is it an experience that you would like to maybe do again? Not maybe under those circumstances, but maybe go back to that country?
Yeah, if I had the money and the resources right now and the time, I would like nothing better than to go back to South Vietnam. And back and toured the whole country. The people were very friendly, very nice. Different culture than what we know, but I enjoyed it. I mean, really, it's a beautiful country.
Well, I think we'll go ahead and conclude this interview. Wayne, I thank you for your time and energies for this. I hope it's close to an hour's tape. What's required is an hour.
Right.
And I know you are getting tired.
If it's not, I've got a couple of friends that can talk about it too. Well, appreciate talking to you about it, and you have a good one.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.